Well, amen. Our hope in Jesus, and we praise the Lord. Our ministry is all about Him, and we thank God for you singing this morning. Thank you to the group singing and reminding us of that. Our hope is Jesus, and that's where it is, of course. And I want to thank you again for being here in church this morning, and it's a wonderful day to get to see everybody together. And I love our auditorium. I know I mention it from time to time. I was in an auditorium, beautiful church this week, and but didn't have any natural light that came in like we do here. And it's just a wonderful place to come. And he said, well, couldn't we just meet in an old barn? We could, but it's nicer to meet somewhere where it's pretty and it's padded pews and air conditioning or heated, whichever one we need. And so we thank the Lord for what He has given us. And I'm also grateful for the blessings that He's putting out in our lives, each and every one of you. And several of you have mentioned mentioned it to me. Congratulations to our family. And of course, some of you saw it posted somewhere that our son Jared got engaged. And so his little girlfriend that he was dating, he got engaged. And of course, they do all that different now than they ever did before. Back in the day, as another dispensation, when I got married, you just said, well, you do want to, right? You know, I mean, it was a little bit more romantic than that. I thought it was, but now compared to what they do now, when they've got the photographer on standby outside and they've got, okay, come on back in. And after they ask the question, then they recreate it all and get back down on one knee. And it's the deal's already done. Well, not the real deal's not done till later this year, I guess. But she already said yes, but then you got to come back in for photographic proof because, you know, you can't post it on social media unless there's a picture there. So, he's been dating a sweet little girl, and so we're thankful for them, and we're looking forward. We'll keep you posted on as far as when they get all the dates nailed down and everything like that, and I appreciate your interest in him. And so that's our son. Now, we've been glad to get him out, and our girls, they're totally different. If you parents have one of each, at least one of each, now the guys, it's good. Get on out of here. Go ahead. And we've been wanting the extra space anyways, but now these girls are a different story. I tell you, I've been hating the person that was going to marry them for a long time, long before I knew them. I mean, long before I would have even met them. But so we love our family, and we're grateful for our two girls. We got to travel a little bit this week together and to a meeting, and so we love our family. God has blessed us, and we're thankful for Jared as well, and we'll keep you posted on all that goes on with him. But, you know, it's just a joy to be in church, though. It's a joy to get to gather around with God's people, to fellowship and howdy around and see one another. And as I mentioned before, I saw folks helping others get seats and then scooting over and getting in and gathering together. And sometimes, because life gets busy, we don't see each other near as much as we would like. But you get to come in and get to howdy around a little bit. And it's a joy just to be saved. And by and large, you've got a camaraderie with most everybody in this room because they're named by the same name that you are, Jesus Christ. And if you're here today, you're not sure that you're a Christian, not sure you're saved, then I challenge you to make that sure before you leave here, because Christ opens the offer of salvation to everybody. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we certainly would invite anybody who's not a Christian to be saved today. Well, I want to preach for a little while about some aspects of bitterness in the lives of some of God's people, the Israelites. And if there's one thing that I know cripples us in our lives, our Christian lives, is that we simply cannot get over some bitterness. And I think God has given me a couple of things that I want to show you today that will pinpoint some of the Israelites' problems of why they were experiencing bitterness, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you as we get into the Word of God together, and we'll have about 20 minutes, and we'll look into this truth, and I think it will change our lives if we'll let it, because God gives us the answer if only we'll accept what He gives us. So I trust it's all a blessing to you. Who'll get started? Once you turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 15, Exodus, the second book in the Bible, if you find your place in Exodus. I did hear this story while you're finding your place in Exodus 15 about this fella. He was sitting in a restaurant. He was waiting on his couple or his party to show up. And he didn't see who sat behind him in the booth, but he could just hear. He could feel the booth sitting down. It was a nice restaurant, but he could hear that there were some people sat down behind him. And he didn't really look back, but he just said, hey. He was a jokester. He said, hey, you want to hear a blonde joke? No offense now, I understand. He said, hey, you want to hear a blonde joke? And from the other side, this lady said, well, I just want you to know that I'm a blonde. I'm a 6'4" professional bodybuilder blonde. He says, I'm sitting here, I'm meeting some of my girlfriends. There's a 6'2" wrestler lady next to me. And she said, then there's a 6'5" blonde lady that's the kickboxing champion in her division. He said, are you sure you still want to tell that blonde joke, mister? And he said, not if I'm going to have to explain it 3 times. So, I know. Now listen, I know I've ostracized much of the crowd, and I'm looking at some right there. Sorry. I want to look at Allison Edwards and all the rest of you out here. I understand. But let's get that all behind us, shall we? You say, preacher, been easier to get behind if you just hadn't said it. Well, I'm sorry. It just seemed to fit so well for today. So now I'm going to preach on bitterness. Now, don't you blondes be bitter about that, okay? Don't do it. We're going to see the Israelites preserved from thirst in Exodus 15, verse number 22. They have come out and crossed the Red Sea, victorious. Wow, God's just given a great victory. They travel some days in and they get to Marah, which many of you know literally means bitterness. I like to live in that town. Your whole town is known by bitter because there was the water there. But the water's found, and it turns out to be bitter. One of the things, the item that was supposed to bring relief, the item that was supposed to bring comfort and nourishment, turned out to be, in many ways, disease, or at least bitter. They couldn't do what it was supposed to do, or they thought it was supposed to do. And so let's get into the scriptures, Exodus 15, verse number 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast in the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. We'll stop our reading there, but he goes on to say they'll later move on to Elam, where there's springs of sweet water. But God made something in Marah that wasn't there when the Israelites showed up, and that was drinkable, nourishing water. And I want to preach for just a little while, and I'm going to ask God to bless me in this. But I'm going to preach for a while about when it doesn't work out like we planned. Father, please bless us now. It's our prayer, dear Lord, that you would come upon this message. And I pray that you would do something special in our midst. Lord, many of my friends are having a hard time getting over things, and I pray that you would bring your power upon their lives, and you'd use this little message in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got the story here, as we've already mentioned. Israel comes out, and they want to see God do something, but they're reluctantly following Moses and expecting Moses to perform great things when he gets them there. I want you to look back in verse 20 and 21 before we got to the passage we're reading now, and you see that Israel had experienced great accomplishments. Verse 20, Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Are we all right with the sound, men? So we see here listed in verse number 21 that recollection of the event that Pharaoh's army were buried in the sea. And so Israel had faced a lot of difficulties, but they'd also faced a lot of successes. And so after these great accomplishments, they're ready now to move on to the next step, ready now to move on to what God has them to do. And it's just expected by the Israelites that now that they have seen such wonderful, miraculous works of God, that those things are just going to continue to follow on with them from here out. You see, I believe that a lot of people that get bitter about the things in their lives, they're not the ones that have never seen anything big. They're the ones that have seen huge milestones reached. They've seen great accomplishments. But for some reason, they just thought when they saw those great accomplishments that they would always follow them throughout the rest of their lives. And as we see in Israel's life here, we understand that even though they did cross the Red Sea, they did see the miraculous hand of God, and they did see all the work that God was going to do in their lives, yet they got to a very simple, basic human need, and that was nutrition or water. And now they're ready to throw in the proverbial towel and say, Moses, what are you doing here? So I want you to see, first of all, if we're on our path to bitterness, I see that the item that should be the answer lets you down. You see in verse number 23, they found no water at the end of verse number 22. And when they came to Marah, finally, wow, we've got water. We were so despondent. We were so depressed. We were so upset. There wasn't any water. We crossed the Red Sea, but now we've come through this barren land. There isn't any water. And then everybody said, oh, look, guess what? There's water up here. And then in verse number 23, they could not drink of the waters of Marah. The thing that was supposed to bring nourishment now just brings disappointment. The thing that was supposed to be a picture of safety, the picture of provision, now turns out to be something that's disgusting in their mouths. And that very thing that should have saved their lives was now just going to taunt them, and they couldn't use it. Now, we know the rest of the story. God was going to make it okay, but they didn't trust Him. You'd think if anybody would trust the Lord, it would have been the Israelites. Because they just saw Him do all of these miracles, yet it seems so, how my mama would say, how fickle they are, that they just lost that confidence in Him. Well, if I could bring it ahead to us, to this day and age, it seems like the people in this room and the pastor that's standing in front of this room, if anybody would trust the Lord through some difficulties, it should be us. But how many times, even though God has shown Himself and proved Himself again and again and again, when a difficult time comes up, says, Lord, did you forget me? I think the Lord might want to say, I haven't forgotten you every other time. My track record is very good. I've been with you for each of the other difficulties. I'll be with you through this. But I see that the item that should be the answer let him down. And I know that there's people in this room that you've had a father that's betrayed you in some way or another. A family member maybe violated your trust in some incident that they did. A pastor crosses the line and goes way beyond where he should have went and meddled into things that he shouldn't have been involved in. And there maybe there's a mentor of yours or mine that abuses their position, and they go across the line and they end up using you instead of training you. They use you for their devices. Or maybe a teacher has his own best interest at heart instead of trying to help you, his student or his pupil. There are some places in our lives where bitterness just starts to boil. Maybe a healthy child is taken unexpectedly. Senseless school shootings that we see, and we wonder, why are those things happening to innocent people in those places? A young couple not getting to have the joy of bringing children into the world, which was their lifelong dream for that girl, and it just didn't turn out to be that way. Our ideas or our expectations are not met. And the Israelites expected clean water. Oh, it's going to be so good to lap down there and get some of those water out of those springs. But it didn't play out the way they thought. And they're on the road to bitterness. I want you to see what happens, though, when you start getting bitter. Look on down the passage in verse number 24. The people are going to get mad at somebody who has nothing to do with the quality of water at Marah. And the people murmured against Moses. Now, Moses didn't half want to bring this group out of Egypt anyways. He's mad at them much of the time. He says, Lord, it's this group that you've given me, and they're rebellious, and they won't listen, and they do what they want to do instead of what you commanded me to do. So it wasn't Moses' fault that they were out there. But when the bitter waters were found there at Marah, it was Moses who the people started murmuring against and saying, listen, what's wrong with you, man? Why did you bring us here? If we won't, but if you look at a few verses later, when they start, they have a lack of food, and then they start saying, boy, I wish we was back in Egypt. You understand what they were saying when they say, well, look over there. Let me see here in that same chapter. No, the next chapter in verse number 1, they came from their journey from Elim, which is where they went after Marah. The verse number 2, the whole murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots. We did eat bread to the full. I'm in verse number 3. For ye brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. First of all, it was thirst. It was water that they needed. And when God provided for that by putting having Moses put the tree down in there, then the next issue was food. And you'd think if the crossing of the Red Sea wouldn't teach them that God was having his hand on them, you'd have thought the water would have taught them that. But the Red Sea didn't teach them that. The water didn't teach them that. Now when they're hungry in the next chapter, we find that they're looking back at Moses saying, what's the deal? We'd have wished we'd have died back in Egypt. Do you understand what they were saying? They were saying we'd have rather been slaves, literally owned by some other entity, than to be out here in this wilderness with just you and God. But we see that the thing that should have brought comfort let us down. And then, number 2, you get bitter at those around you. That's what they were doing in verse number 24. And although we didn't plan to get it, that's what they were doing verse number 3 of chapter 16, the next. You see, we can only hold things in so long. We suppress our bad feelings against somebody. We're mad long before we let it be known. Most of us are anyways. But then when something happens and we get pressed, we get squeezed, then that what was down comes out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth speaketh. You ever wonder why somebody at your work, they just went off on somebody because of some little small thing that happened? That didn't happen all of a sudden. That had been building and building and building. It's just that the dam got busted and it just all flowed out. Did you ever notice that if you fly on an airplane, they tell you when they're giving that little spiel, that little speech up the front, and the flight attendants are up there and talking about what nobody listens to, says, yeah, if we lose cabin pressure, the mask will drop down from the ceiling, and they do that. Then they say, put it around your head and pull the little stringy things. And they say, if you're traveling with small children, put your mask on first before you put theirs on. Why do they do that? Well, they know if you're a mom, you're going to fidget around and try to get that baby taken care of or that small child before you ever do yours. But what they know is if you don't get some oxygen flowing to you to where you have some health, you don't have some sustenance, you don't have some thing to keep your mind coherent, you won't be any good to you or that child. Because what's in you flows out to that one. If they can get life flowing in you through oxygen, then you can help the other one get life flowing to them through oxygen. And that other person's health is dependent on you. Or that person's misery or death could be dependent on you as well. And we see that if you're not careful, we all affect the people around us. And the Israelites were bitter. They were upset because God, and then they can't talk to God in that way very well, not near as easy as they talk to Moses. And they say, Moses, it's your fault. What'd you bring us out here for? And so we get bitter at those that are around us. Can I surmise what I think happened? The Israelites never did get their anger, their resentment, and their bitterness against God. They never did get it resolved. I believe that some of them were still bitter and angry that they were Egypt's slaves. And then it sounded good to them when Moses said, we're going to lead you out. God's going to lead us out. They said, okay, we'll go. But I don't believe they battled with the root of bitterness that was in their heart. I think it just laid right under the surface and it was ready for a next chance that it could just to come out. And then now we enter into these verses that we read. Now's the next chance to let it come out because now they're thirsty and they can't get any sustenance from their water. And so we see that we get bitter at those that are around us. I wonder about you. Are you a miserable somebody to live with? All because, not because the people that in your house did something to you, but because something in your life happened that you just can't, by the grace of God, get over. People tell us all the time, I just can't get over it. Well, the Israelites, the way that this bitterness manifested itself was in what they thought should be their little savior, not the savior, but their little, wow, save the day, the water. It turned out to be a great disappointment. And can I tell you that in our lives, we're going to have disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. And if we don't deal with those disappointments correctly, we're going to be some of the most bitter people that you could ever imagine. And so they were bitter because the item that they thought would be their salvation, little s, their physical salvation, let them down. And when that happened, then it triggered that response, which is all too common in our lives. They got bitter. They got angry at Moses. But I want to show you the third point out of verse number 25. That God can and does, and He wants to in your life, cure the bitterness. Now, this is legitimate, literal bitterness. Water is bitter. But verse number 25 says, He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. As sure as there were bitter waters flowing out of that springs at Marah, there was a tree that God put there, and he told Moses, if you'll put it in that water, that bitter taste that's going to be in your mouth will be there no more. I see a couple things underneath this that God shows the solution for bitterness here. He tells Moses, look around there. There's a tree right there. Bring it in. Some people say, as I mentioned, that, well, I just can't get over it. You know, the scripture talks about in the New Testament, there is no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. But God will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape. That means that whatever God allows you to face, it may not be easy, it won't be easy, but God will give you the strength, the ability, and the people around to get through if only you'll look. God showed Moses the solution for these people's bitterness. And God's got a solution for our bitterness as well. You know what I find? That if we're not careful, when things start going wrong, we turn inward and start looking, how can I better take care of me? But I would submit to you that a lot of times the very thing you need to do is look outward at somebody else. I think you've seen this play out. Let me give you an example, an illustration. I've seen crusty, old, grumpy men say, Pastor, don't talk about my husband again. I'm not talking specifically about yours, but if the shoe fits, I've seen crusty, grumpy old men turn into jello when somebody brings a little baby, their grandchild, great-grandchild, and puts them in his arms. All of a sudden, that fellow that wouldn't laugh at a good joke on Sunday morning is making goo-goo faces. Oh, look at that little one. Look at him. Look at him. And he's been the grumpiest old cuss that you could ever imagine. And everybody who's over the age of 2 in that house, he'd just soon bless them out of seat. Look at him. But boy, that little baby comes, and they lay that baby in great-grandpa's arms, then he just turns to jello. God found the cure for that grumpy old cuss. And that's that new life that entered into that home. And God shows the solution for these Israelites' bitterness by showing them the tree that's there. And he says, Moses, if you'll put it in there, it'll turn that bitter water sweet. But I want to give you another little thought underneath this point. That tree, or the solution, was planted long before the Israelites ever needed it. What's that tree doing there in the wilderness of the desert anyways? Perhaps God sent an angel down every morning to water that tree. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But he obviously kept it growing for this one event. God was going to have to give an object lesson. Could God have made that water sweet with or without the tree? Sure he could. But he chose to give the Israelites this object lesson. And God kept that thing growing just so he could say, Moses, you see that tree? Lord, I see it. Moses, go get that thing and throw it in the water. He said, God, that ain't going to do no good. I imagine that was his reaction. The Bible again doesn't say what he said. But I said, Lord, that ain't going to help. We don't need firewood. We need sweet water. Said, Moses, just listen to me, boy, and put it in the water. And God is working and has been working in our lives and the problems that we don't even know they exist yet. But that verse I told you about in Corinthians where he make a way to escape. God's made us a way to escape of all the trials and temptations and difficulties that come in our lives. God's already made a way for us to get out of all of them. We just don't understand why he put those trees in our lives yet, but he will let us know that. I've told you the story before. Bobby Robertson, pastor down in Winston-Salem, and they have dozens of buses now, but they didn't have any church buses, but he was burdened, the pastor was, and so he got a few old buses and parked them down at the back of the property. And Bobby Robertson said that one grumpy old guy that I was, like the one I was talking about earlier, one grumpy old guy, he came to him, he said, "I'll take one of those buses if you don't got nothing else to do with them." And so he took one of those and took it to a poor section of town and started loving on some families that didn't have anybody else to care about them. And that ministry so grabbed the heart of that grumpy old cuss that he stayed in that for some 20 or 30 years, just continually trying to reach people and help with their family needs and help with their physical needs and spiritual needs and emotional needs, all because God had put a tree in his life. That old yellow bus that wasn't good for anything else put a tree in his life to sweeten him up. Now, my friend, I'm just trying to tell all of us this morning that God can cure the bitterness. The bitterness that some of us might be in right now. God allowed a tree to be planted 2,000 some odd years ago. Do you understand in the economy, if God truly is omniscient, that he knows all that's going on, God, when he created this world and put the vegetation life, a tree was going to put a seed down that was going to get another seed, there's going to get another seed, going to get another seed, going to get another seed, and eventually the tree was going to be grown that was going to be cut down for a crude old cross that the Son of God was going to hang on. And I don't know what bitterness you find yourself in this morning. But just like Moses took the tree and put it in that bitter water of Marah and made it sweet water that was refreshing to the Israelites, God planted that tree some 2,000 odd years ago, and he let those people, whoever they were, cut it down and hewed into an old, coarse, rugged cross. And that tree, my friend, if you will truly, truly, I'm talking about unsaved and saved alike, if you'll truly let that tree dip down into the soul of yourself, you'll find bitterness won't have such a death hold on you either. If you're here this morning and you're bitter at life and you're bitter at things that's going on, you don't understand why you have to face the things that you do. You have no hope of eternal life. You have no hope of happiness on this earth. And you don't know where you'll go on the other one after this earth life is over for you. I tell you this morning that the old rugged cross, this one looks trim and neat and petite up there. But we always put that at the front so that everybody in this room would understand that we pointing people to that cross. Well, that represents a true old hewn, a rough hewn cross that God allowed to be growing and cut, and then the lovely Son of God hung on that. And if you and I would put that cross in the bitter life of ours and let Jesus Christ save your soul, then all of a sudden your bitter life that you've lived with for all of your days would become sweet, because now you have something that is precious. Now you have something that provides salvation, and now you have something that gives hope. It's the old rugged cross. And as Moses put that tree down in that water and made it sweet for the Israelites to drink, God put a tree and he allowed it to be in that hole on Calvary's hill. And that tree, the one that hung on that tree, if you accept him into your life, then the bitter waters that you have been living with all of your days could become sweet, because your sins would be taken away. The bitterness of sin ravages every person on this earth. And the only hope that you have to get out of the bitterness of sin is to put your faith in the Savior that hung on the tree, the old rugged cross. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, No wonder your life is not going like you want it to. Oh, Jesus didn't come so you'd have a happy life now. He came to save you from your sins so that you could have eternal life in heaven. And then to the other group of the crowd this morning, you're saved. You have let that cross dip down into your life and totally changed you and saved you. But you're going to have to start viewing every event, every bitterness-causing event in your life. You and I are going to have to start viewing those through the scope of the cross and realize that those atrocities that were done against us, those unfair things that happened to us, those issues that weren't our fault, but they sure caused us a lot of problem, that lost deal that some person cheated us out of something, someone else that swindled our family out of something that really did belong to us, somebody else who did us wrong, somebody who cheated us in business, somebody else who hurt our family, or maybe somebody passed away in our family, which in our estimation was way too soon. Whatever the event might be, I'm telling you this morning, my friend, that we've got to get to a place where we view every event in our lives through the cross and realize that Jesus and the cross that he hung on made everything all right. As long as you keep looking at the bitter waters of Marah and don't cast your eyes on the tree that's over there on the bank against the side of that hill, as long as you keep looking at that water, it's going to remain bitter. And every time you'll think, well, maybe I'll taste it again just in case, it's going to be just as bitter the next taste as it was the first taste. And until you get your eyes, Moses, on the tree over there, you go chop it down, you go cut it down, however it got down, you go get that, and until you put it in that water, it's going to taste just as bitter every time. And so this morning, that bitterness that you continually live in, it's caused by unrealized dreams. You always thought it'd be better. I always thought my finances would be better. I always thought my family would get to do this. I always thought this. Maybe it's some undeserved hardships. I don't deserve this. Maybe it's disappointments where you had great plans and dreams and you had it all worked out. But it didn't happen that way. And I promise you, my friend, if you continually focus on those things that you've been let down about, those disappointments, those abuses, you'll remain in that bitterness. Why don't you let God throw the cross in your life? Because there's way too many people I meet, you can tell it soon after you start talking to them by the look on their face and by the tone of their voices, bitterness is just gripping them. Let God put the cross in your life and in your bitter water. The Bible says that the waters were made sweet. Bruce Fry, a singer and evangelist, his brother, both of them got born again and both of them minister now. He got saved in Sweetwater, Texas. We have a Sweetwater, Tennessee. You might not live in Sweetwater, Tennessee and maybe never have a plan to, but the waters in Gray can be awful sweet because of the Savior that wants to enter into your life. If you're saved today, why are you carrying around all the bitterness of unrealized dreams? Why are you complaining to God about what didn't happen but you know should have happened? My friend, sooner or later, you're going to have to believe in the sovereignty of God. If he'd have wanted to have that happen, he could have made it happen. That job promotion that you were counting and relying on to make you happy, well, can I just give you a spoiler alert? It wasn't going to make you happy either. If you weren't happy before it, you weren't going to be happy when you got it. But regardless of all that, you didn't get it. You can either go on and be better by letting God work in your heart, or you can remain in that bitter water and stay bitter. Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of us. I preached a little longer than I thought I would. But I pray, dear Lord, that you have moved upon the hearts. I believe that this is where we need it to be this morning as a church family and other guests that are here. So, Lord, I don't believe anybody's here by accident. So, Lord, if there are some folks that are battling bitterness today, I pray, dear Lord, that you would let you put the cross in that bitter water. If they need to be saved, I pray they get saved. If they're saved and they know you, then I pray, dear Lord, that they would quit looking at that bitter water. It's not getting any better. Not until the tree is put down in it. Bless us, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand together if you're able to? As they begin to play, if God's dealing with your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're here this morning and life has been so bitter, hard. I'm not doubting that it is. I don't doubt that the water was bitter there at Mar. I know it was. The scripture says it was. I'm not doubting the difficulty. I'm questioning what you're doing with the path forward. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, I invite you to come. Let somebody tell you about the sweet waters of Jesus Christ. If you trust in Him. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to be baptized. You'd like to come out and present yourself for baptism. We'll do it very soon. Maybe there's somebody here this morning needs to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God's already laid it on your heart to do that. Why don't you step out and come? Present yourself for membership. Whatever your spiritual need is, let's not have unfinished business with the Lord. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but I'm going to have you pretend as I was having you raise your hand, but I'm not. But without raising your hand, how many would say inwardly to the Lord, I battle with that bitterness? Don't raise your hand, but be honest with the Lord. I battle with that bitterness. I battle with that bitter water. Well, if you do, my friend, would you let the Lord Jesus Christ give you spiritual eyes so that you can view this life circumstances through the cross and realize that God makes it okay? You say that atrocity was committed against me, that's not okay. I'm not saying that is okay. But I'm saying unless you get a vantage point from the Calvary's cross, you're never going to be able to go on and be the family that you need to be. There's a wife that needs you, sir. There's a family that needs you, mom. There's a neighbor, a cousin that needs your help and your counsel. But you can't be what they need because you're too bitter about what's happened to you. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be in church today. I preached just a little longer than I planned on, but I trust the Lord was in that. Thank you for being in church. If you're a guest with us today, you have honored us with your presence here today. We thank you for being here. There's a counter out in the lobby. It's called Guest Services. It's listed above the countertop. If you wouldn't mind stopping by there and just put that connect card that's in the front of the pew or in the pew in front of you, and and give it to one of them. They've got a gift for you just for being our guest. I'd like to write you a note and tell you how much we appreciate you being here. Also, if you've been coming for a good while, but maybe you're not sure we have your information, you'd like a note, or not a note, but you'd like a visit or something from me or the pastoral staff, then you can use that Connect card for that, and we'll certainly communicate back and forth that way. So what a joy it is to be in church this morning. Thank you for being here. And Kyle, we wanted to remind everybody that once you come up here and tell us the details of a fundraiser that's going on at the Scoop, is the ice cream shop right down the way here tomorrow, Kyle, and then you pray for us, okay?
Well, I get to talk about one of my favorite things, ice cream. And so tomorrow, the Scoop is being a huge blessing to our youth group here, Ridge Point Youth Group. And so if you go to the Scoop tomorrow, anytime, all day that they're open, if you go to the Scoop, all of the profit that they raise tomorrow, they're giving to our youth group. And a great fundraiser for our youth department. So if you like ice cream, like I like ice cream, go to the Scoop tomorrow, and we'll enjoy that then. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for working in our lives. Lord, the fact that, Lord, we don't have to be bitter through our lives, but Lord, we can turn that over to you, seek you in our life. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your love for us, and we pray all of this in your name. Amen.